California battles over classifying drivers. Manufacturers predict a recession. And NASA's building a supply chain to the moon and back. Pull up a chair and join us as the editors of DC Velocity discuss these stories, as well as news and supply chain trends on this week's Logistics Matters podcast. Hi there, I'm Dave Maloney. I'm the editorial director at DC Velocity. Welcome. This week's Logistics Matters podcast is brought to you by Agile Business Media. You're probably familiar with the leading supply chain brands of Agile. They include DC Velocity and CSCMP's Supply Chain Quarterly. But Agile is much more than magazines. We're a full multimedia company, and it's a source for the best coverage of business information and intelligence for the logistics and supply chain industries. You can learn more at agilebusinessmedia.com. And joining me to provide their insight into the top stories of this week are Senior News Editor Ben Ames and Senior Editor Victoria Kickham. Ben, let me start with a story that you covered this week on the California legislation known as AB5. What's that all about?
Yeah, this has been an issue with a whole lot of movement around it lately. It's like a tennis game going back and forth. So AB stands for Assembly Bill 5, and it was a law that was passed by California voters and signed into law back in September 2019. It was due to take effect January 1st. However, the sides have really lined up at their battle stations back and forth here. And the latest move was that a judge moved to freeze it, to at least temporarily, for this round.
And what does this basically do? It affects labor law primarily, correct?
Yeah, it sure does. The idea was that it would compel employers to classify people who work for them fully as an employee with all the higher wages and benefits that accrue to that, instead of just calling them independent contractors. And that's particularly relevant in California with their big sort of gig economy culture and Uber drivers and then that whole sort of upcoming type of work that's really sort of part-time, a little bit here, a little bit there. In the transportation sector, it would really have an impact on truck drivers as well, though.
And of course, this would impact independent truckers who prefer to remain independent, as well as at the same time, it could benefit drivers around the ports who are currently classified as independent contractors, but don't get the benefits of being considered employees. So we may have both winners and losers in supply chain jobs, depending on the outcome.
Yeah, that's for sure. And you know, if you talk to the Teamsters Union, they definitely agree with that point of view that that the ports are one major example, but particularly with the drayage drivers. The California Trucking Association is sort of the group on the other side, who's saying that if you did raise pay for the workers, it would also introduce higher prices for other costs of items down the line.
Right, and a lot of those drivers would lose the independence ability that they currently have. Okay, that's very interesting. Victoria, you were looking at a survey that was done recently for manufacturing executives who say that they expect a recession this year. And this runs contrary to some of the other reports that I've heard. What are they saying are the reasons why they expect a recession to occur?
Well, this survey, I found it interesting for a couple of reasons. It really linked the issues surrounding global trade, and that was really their primary concern, that trade issues, the trade war, tariffs, and things like that are likely to cause a global recession this year. So that was their short-term concern, along with, you know, the idea that tariffs are really raising their production costs, which they'll have to pass along to consumers.
But this also has a bit of a silver lining in some respects, too, because they anticipate that things might get better in the long term.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I found especially interesting. So though the short-term outlook was for some pain, as they suggested, the long-term outlook was much more positive. About 65% of those surveyed said that they thought the recently imposed tariffs on Chinese goods and others will ultimately lead to improved global trade practices. And another 40% said that they'll will lead to improved U.S.-China trade relations over the next couple of years. So, on the long term, it's definitely a rosier outlook.
Yeah, I think most supply chain professionals would agree that there have been a lot of abuses in the past, some of which are being corrected by the tariffs. However, the medicine has been very tough to take.
Exactly.
Well, we want to remind you before we move on to our next topic that this week's Logistics Matters podcast is brought to you by Agile Business Media. Make sure you visit our editors at booth 6413 at MODEX next month in Atlanta. Ben, it's the year of the rat. We have the Lunar New Year coming up, and You reported on how this break in time over the new year is affecting a lot of people's supply chains coming out of China.
Yeah, that's right. And it's really it's the changeover of the Lunar New Year. China's the biggest country affected, but it's also Vietnam and Korea and Singapore, a lot of places in the region there. And there's just an enormous sort of migration of people, but everybody wants to go home and sort of celebrate with their families, and it just kind of shuts everything down a little bit like it is, you know, around the winter holidays in the U.S., but to a bigger degree. Some of the approaches, though, that companies are using to deal with the stoppage in manufacturing and logistics motion over there, they're building up adequate inventory beforehand. That's something we've seen with other disruptions like tariffs. They're doing more communication, like informing their trade partners and finding out if there are any priority shipments they have to put on top. They're booking shipments far in advance. And finally, some of them are even reserving space on passenger flights, commercial flights, for shipments that really can't be delayed at all.
Those are all good approaches and probably the type of thing that people should be looking at and developing their contingency planning as well for other types of events and natural disasters.
It's true, for sure.
And speaking of the Lunar New Year, we move on to a different kind of lunar story. It's this month's cover story, actually, in DC Velocity. It features an interview I did with Mark Weiss. He's the manager of the logistics element for NASA's Gateway Lunar Project. As many of you know, that humans are going to be going back to the moon later this decade, and NASA needs help in getting supply chain professionals to help them get everything they need to get to the moon and back. So looking to establish both terrestrial supply chains to get the stuff that they need to build everything to get to the moon, as well as a space-bound supply chain. The aim is to build a space station that's going to orbit the moon. It's called the Lunar Gateway. It'll be a permanent station that will serve as a jumping-off point for astronauts going back and forth to the lunar surface, as well as those big missions that are going to happen to Mars eventually. It's an interesting topic of how NASA is looking as an agency to look for supply chain professionals and companies to help them. It's a little different approach than they took in the 70s, where government pretty much did everything. They're now looking for industry to help them. So I encourage our listeners to check that out in the interview. I think you'll enjoy it. And in our February issue, Victoria, you recently visited a company called Royal Flora Holland. It's an impressive facility I visited a few years ago. Tell us about your report.
Yes, it was really interesting. Back in the fall, I had the opportunity to visit the Netherlands and take a look at the different supply chain and logistics operations over there, and did visit Royal Flora Holland, which is the largest flower auction in the world, and a flower co-op. And it was great. It was interesting to see just the size and scope of the operation. They have more than 5,000 suppliers. They source from 60 countries, sell to buyers in more than 140 countries. But most interesting was some of the initiatives they're taking to streamline what they call the floriculture supply chain. They're doing that a number of ways. It's environmental and sustainability issues, supply chain digitization, and others. But one of the things I wanted to point out, and you can see it in the issue, is they're working on a packaging solution designed to improve loading efficiency of air cargo. Flower boxes come in all different shapes and sizes. What they're trying to do through this project called the Ideal Flower Box, that essentially allows them to more efficiently load the plane. It's in a pilot program right now with some growers in Kenya, and they have seen a 15% increase in loading efficiency just by that one small initiative. So the idea is if they roll that out to a wider audience, the savings just sort of multiply from there.
Very good. Well, we look forward to seeing that in our February issue of DC Velocity. And if you'd like some information on any of the stories that we covered in today's podcast, be sure to check out dcvelocity.com for more details. Thanks, Ben. Thank you, Victoria. Appreciate you stopping by today to share with us what's happening. And thanks also to our sponsor, Agile Business Media, the leading provider of business information and intelligence for logistics and supply chain executives. Learn more at agilebusinessmedia.com. Thanks for being with us, and we'll see you next week on Logistics Matters.